This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download. Jones and Keefe.
On W-E-E-I.
2-1 pitch. Swing, line drive, left field over Guerin. It's a hit. The game's over. Toronto scores 7 in a row. Guerrero scores. Alejandro Kirk with the game-winning walk-off single. And the Red Sox lose one that was almost impossible to lose. 7-6-10.
Wolf City for the Red Sox last night. Man, cruising. They're up 6-0. They're hitting more home runs.
Alex Bregman can't get out.
Giolito. Cruising.
Not bad. Giolito, pretty solid.
Until he wasn't. Bullpen comes in and pours gasoline on the fire.
On themselves. Garrett Whitlock, not his outing.
Not what you're looking for.
No.
You got Vlad advancing from second to third in extra innings. Rafaela drills him with a throw. And then the Blue Jays walk it off. The rubber game all comes down to Tanner Houck tonight. Not sure how I feel about that. But you can jump in on the Red Sox here, hour number two. Of Jones and Keefe. We got all your Patriots phone calls as well. Drake May speaking about 45 minutes from now. You can still weigh in on Bill and Jordan. A lot of you looking to do that at 617-779-7937. Plus, we'll talk to Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring at 11:30 as we do each and every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. Worst loss of the year, Keefe?
Yeah, I think it has to be, you know, because of you're up 6-0 in the, you know, later half of the game. And then you lose 7-6. So I would say so. And it was also, you know, you had an opportunity for Lucas Giolito to get the win. You know, he was in line for the win. He pitched really well. Obviously, the last inning he pitched wasn't great. But still, he leaves with what goes down as a quality start. You know, he had 3 earned runs, 6 innings. He had 7 strikeouts. I know Cora was a little worried about the walks. I heard him talking about with WEI Afternoons yesterday about, you know, and all these rehab starts, Giolito's walking a lot of guys. Remember Nick was saying, pound the over on walks. He only walked 2 guys.
Yeah, so he didn't hit. He did not hit the over. Was that Nick or was that the text line?
I forget. Well, no, maybe it was text line.
I was on the over on home runs.
Well, he did allow 2 home runs.
He did give up 2 of those.
He will give up a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
But if you told me he's going to have, you know, a 4.5 ERA, like, I'll take it.
So,
for the season, for Giolito, fine. 6 innings, I'll take it.
It's hard to get too mad at Whitlock. I mean, Whitlock came in and didn't pitch well, but, like, it's hard to get mad at him. He's been good.
He has been good, and, you know, he's, I guess, due for one of these.
And I don't have any real big takeaways from that, other than it just wasn't a good night for him. He gave up, again, the 3-run shot to Santander. I don't really think this is a second guess, but if you want to call it a second guess, fine. We were going around the room yesterday late in the show. We're like, what do you expect out of Giolito? 4 innings. I think we all said 4 innings. But I do remember saying, well, there's no way he's going past 5, right? Do you have any issues with Cora going back to Giolito? They didn't really use the bullpen the day prior. You use Whitlock for 2 innings anyway. That was clearly the plan. So there's 2 innings right there. You only have to piece together 2 more. Mm-hmm. Did you have any issue with Cora going back to Giolito for the 6th?
No,
instead of just getting him out and saying, hey, good start.
I feel like he's been pretty consistent with this. There's been a few times where I was like, I would have taken Crochet out even an inning
the
earlier.
The pitch count was super. Even with the 6 innings,
total.
He finished at 90. So the pitch count was low.
And it wasn't a 1-run game. Even with the 3 runs allowed, you leave with a 3-run lead, giving it to the bullpen for what should only be 3 innings. I know it ended up going to extras, but what should only be 3 innings, and the bullpen has been good this year.
It's just it was so the first start. It's the only reason I bring that up.
It was his first start.
And you're going a, what, 3rd time through the order, which usually is time to get your starter out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is the only reason I bring it up, and I really don't think it's a second guess because we talked about yesterday.
No.
5 innings you'd be super happy with.
But if I told you that it was, you
5
know,
scoreless, maybe I'd feel different.
5 scoreless, yeah. But if you, right. 5 scoreless, and I forget what the pitch count was after that. You're like, you're up 6-0. You're cruising through 5. And he's done this with other guys because I think there were, you know, even, you know, Crochet's first start, you're like, all right, get him out now. Like, make him feel good about it. And he went out for, like, the 8th inning or whatever it was.
So, what'd you think about – I'm sorry.
I actually think – wasn't Giolito – didn't he have 2 outs in the 6th inning and then it all fell apart?
That might be right. They were back-to-back home runs. Was it 2 outs? Hang on, I have it in front of me. Scroll. It went – yeah, 2 outs. Correct. In fact, the first 2. First two, then walk, then home run, home run.
I think it was two outs, two strikes, and then it all fell apart.
Yeah, good point.
So, look.
So he was cruising.
Maybe it's not fair, but that's one I would look at.
But if you're up three and you have only three innings of relief and you're thinking Whitlock for two and Chapman, I think you won the game.
But again, your bullpen was pretty fresh. You didn't need to stay away from your bullpen. You didn't need the extra inning is my point, especially if you were going to – Whitlock was clearly the plan either way.
Yeah.
Whitlock gave up the bomb and came back out. So, you know,
yeah, would you have brought Whitlock back?
No.
Yeah, so that's where okay, there you go. I have more of an issue with Whitlock coming out for a second inning than I do Giolito coming out for a sixth.
And the second inning went fine, but I have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you this one. I didn't really pick up on this in real time, but Tom Caron mentioned it postgame, and I'm like, huh. Was Raffaello ready on the fly ball to lead off the 10th inning? Red Sox don't score top of the 10th with the Ghost Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Was Raffaello ready? Because Vlad shouldn't be going second to third.
No.
Vlad.
Yeah, no. You're all guys. He's the last guy in the lineup to do that.
And Caron mentioned this. He's like, was Raffaello, was he fully set? Was he ready to throw? Now, if the throw doesn't hit Guerrero, they probably get him.
Mm-hmm.
But did they go because of the way Raffaello kind of loafed after the fly? But, like, I think that's a fair second guess.
Yeah.
I think he's a great defensive player, but was he a little asleep on that play?
And he's really in the lineup because of his fielding, right? So, like, a guy like that, and I know you're not going to have, you know, errorless seasons or not, that wasn't even an error, but
no.
Just, like, you're not going to have a perfect defense all the time. But that's one thing that's keeping him in the lineup and playing every day in somebody like Roman Anthony down in Worcester. So, yeah, I think that's one that you can put on him. Like, that, you don't expect that from him.
No. And again, Guerrero's at third. They intentionally walk the next two guys. Kirk walks it off.
Mm-hmm.
Text line is chastising you and I, Keith.
Wait, what?
This comes up after every Red Sox. This has to be the same individual. I see it every day. After the Red Sox lose. Guys, tell us again how good the management is, please. Please, guys, get back on the ship. Tell us how well-built this team is. Great players everywhere.
And I think it's a pretty good team. I know they're only two games over 500 right now, but
two games over 500. Yeah. They're a game and a half out of first. I mean,
right.
I mean, I expected them to be a little better.
Aren't the Dodgers 500 in the last 20 games?
I don't even know, but I'm saying
like 10-10.
If you're asking me, did I expect them to be a little bit better? Sure, but like, what? They're a terrible team now. No one's saying they're a terrible team.
No.
I mean, besides this texter.
No.
Where are they again in runs? I meant to look this up.
In runs,
they are now fourth in baseball in runs. They just got passed by the Dodgers. They played one extra game. So maybe on a runs per game basis, they're a little bit further down.
Is this like the Dodgers, Cubs, Yankees have scored more runs?
Yeah.
That's it. And the Cubs have Kyle Tucker, so that's not fair. And then the Yankees have Judge.
Let's go!
And then you got the Dodgers. So, like, obviously, so you almost like, you're like, all right.
We'll get to him.
Tip your cap on those three teams.
We'll get to Kyle Tucker, Keith.
But the Red Sox are scoring runs. I thought, yeah, like, the thing that jumps out to you is they blew a 6-run lead and they lost the game they should have won. However, I will take Lucas Giolito having that kind of performance.
Me too. Save that text for tomorrow. They lose today and Houck gets his brains beaten in and they drop 2 out of 3 to Toronto. Fair text. You know, they're one game over 500. Who knows? Like, maybe a more fair text tomorrow than today. But if you think we overrated the Red Sox, feel free. Let us know. 617-779-7937.
You had him in the World Series.
I did have him in the World Series. While we're going back to offseason predictions, I mean, no one wanted Bregman more than me, and Bregman's been awesome.
Bregman's awesome.
So I'll stand by that text line. I don't see anybody
in
calling me out on that one.
Yep.
Let's mix in some of these Patriots phone calls.
All right.
Jump in on the Red Sox, you can. It's May 1st. I think every month we're going to be updating the Dong Pool draft. So we'll give you the standings in the Dong Pool coming up as well.
No, let's not today.
At least five people care about those standings. I don't know if anybody else does, but we did the draft. We're going to update you.
We'll update you. People, they want to know. A lot of emails about the Dong Pool.
Let's go to Jacob Boston's waiting very patiently. Hello, Jake.
Okay. What's up, boys? Far too nice to Linda. Far too nice. But did you guys?
So hang on. Jake, you think we're being too easy? You think Linda was a bigger problem than we do? Like, I don't think Linda was
correct.
A big problem because she let...
It was like a talker or distraction or anything.
Nike was at the draft. Like, that was a silly thing.
It was
a
COVID draft. Who cares?
But it wasn't like Jordan.
Williams. No, Juwan you're Williams. Just noticing it because the age gap is facilitating the coverage. Like, why is the New York Times beating our papers on the realtor stuff when we knew about the relationship a year and a half ago? I mean, we knew about the...
But they dated for 16 years, and she wasn't 24, and she was appropriate for his age. And as far as I know, she wasn't stomping around making football decisions at practice. Like, she wasn't doing that.
Well, what's interesting is like, we know what Belichick is. But for the last 7 years, I've told you that if you wanted to hear a quote from a Belichick, Jen Belichick would tell you more about the team than Bill.
Ah.
And yesterday, Jen Belichick offered the first comment from a Belichick family member, including Bill, fake statement yesterday on this interview when she responded to an Instagram post on the Dudes Bros podcast that Gronk and Edelman put on, and she responded to Nikki Glaser. Nikki Glaser basically agreed with Gronk and Edelman and said she was acting as his publicist. Publicists do this during interviews, which is correct. But Jen Belichick responded to that comment from Nikki Glaser and said, publicists act in a professional manager or professional manager and don't storm offset, delaying the interview. So even within Bill's own household, there is disagreement on what's going on, and we all want to hear from the Jens and the kids of the world.
Well, Jake, I'm cutting him off.
According to TMZ, too. So that's Steve Belichick's wife. Yep. People are wondering who that even is. Mm-hmm. So she commented on that and then made her Instagram private.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe she thought it already was. So so she basically said publicists act in a professional manner. Nikki Glaser compromised. I think she's very funny, but compromised. She did the roast with Gronk and Edelman.
Oh yeah.
Belichick. So she's defending them effectively.
Yeah, of course.
So I mean, Jake says he wants to hear from all the Bell. I mean, I guess I'd be interested to hear from Steve and Brian.
I think we have an idea,
but like, right?
I think I have a pretty good idea.
What do you think they think about this relationship? Like, Jake's right to identify that comment. It's an interesting comment. It's picked up a lot of steam on social media today. Who has it? TMZ?
Yeah, TMZ's like all over. TMZ doesn't stop with this.
So, like, you know, I guess would I be interested to hear how Steve actually feels? Sure.
Oh, man. Hey.
But do you really need to hear from them? I think we all know what's going on.
Think of a general idea.
She spent $8 million.
Yeah.
Either been given $8 million or spent $8 million of Bill's, hard-earned dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's $8 million less the kids have now. So what do you think they
nice
think?
Porsche, too.
Yeah, throw that on there
nice
as well.
Porsche?
Yeah.
Not bad.
So, like, I expected they felt this way. That's not shocking to me.
I agree.
But it is interesting. Should we try another one of these?
Sure.
I believe this individual wants to go on the clock.
Okay.
Let's try to keep it. I mean, we're breaking up with her, but let's try to be nice about it.
Yeah.
Brian in Salem, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead, Brian.
I want to save Bill from himself. He just slipped out the back, Bill. Make a new plan, Bill. You don't need to be coy, Bill. You just listen to me. You just hop on the bus, Bill. No need to discuss more. Just hop off the key, Bill, and your grab bag's free.
Thank you very much, Brian. Very good. Didn't even need the full 30 seconds.
Did you say grab bags?
Yeah. You turned it into a grab bag.
That's a live grab bag.
Why not?
We've never had one of those before.
Get on the bus,
Should I
Bill.
Grab that and save it?
You might as well.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I'd say sure.
Sure.
So he's like basically just like run and hide. Going to hiding.
Okay, so while I think Keith, our 60-second plans are pretty productive. Maybe maybe taking the 30 seconds from the listeners is not going quite how we expected.
No, but it's all right. This is why you try things.
Look, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
Shoot or shoot.
Uh-huh.
Tim and Brockton on Drake May. Go ahead, Tim.
All right.
Okay, so the whole Drake May situation is they're going to come up with another excuse as why he's failing as a quarterback. He's not going to live up to that, and it's going to be the coach's fault. It's going to be the wide receivers. Oh, no, it's going to be the O-line. Oh, it's going to be something else. The kid is not that really good. I'm Mr. Mediocre or whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, he's mediocre, and they shouldn't have got rid of Joe Milton. It should have been a QB competition, but he had to go to HR, front office, to go cry and say, I'm the face of the franchise, and if you guys want to count on me, then you guys got to get rid of him. He's a crybaby. His character reveals what type of person he is. We should have kept Joe Milton.
Okay, so
the whole media core.
I love it.
I mean, he identified
honestly,
himself
there's,
as that guy.
There's not enough counter to Drake May, right? Everybody thinks he's going to be good. You and I both think he's going to be good or is good and will be good. But,
I do, but don't you have some of the fears that he has?
Yes,
yeah,
100%.
Me too.
So he brings up a great point. Do you think if Drake May struggles this year, there'll be an obvious thing to point to as to why it was a mess? So last year, if he had a bad game, even if it was something he did, you'd be like, O-line's a train wreck. Alex Van Pelt doesn't know how to call plays. You know, Jonathan Kraft even said Alex Van Pelt doesn't even know how to call plays. He has received
a disaster.
Yeah. Like, there are a million excuses. Uh-huh. Worst receiving core, worst offensive line, team blows, head coach is an idiot, like, everything. Now, we went over this yesterday. They improved. They either stayed the same or improved everywhere across the board. So if Drake May doesn't have a big year two jump, is it all on Drake May, or are people going to find a way to point to something else?
Well, this is why I think it's important to ask him if he had, did you have any input on Steph Diggs? Did you have any input on Kyle Williams? Because, like, Brady could complain all he wanted about Mohamed Sanu and how it didn't work out. You wanted Mohamed Sanu.
He apparently wanted him, yeah.
So, and look, maybe Drake won't answer that question, but if we can get any insight into Drake, if Drake, Kyle Williams is Drake May's handpicked receiver, then no, you don't get to complain when Kyle Williams sucks.
Well,
or if, but he handpicked, he was influential in recruiting Steph Diggs to New England, and he wanted Steph Diggs. If we find any of that stuff out, I don't think he can turn around and blame those
so
guys.
So here's how I think he could still get excuses for him would be if Will Campbell has to play guard and you have a rotating left tackle, which I don't think is going to happen. But if that happens, that'd be an excuse. And if Steph Diggs isn't ready till like halfway through the season and then like looks like
well,
he's
that's
like
a,
hurt.
That is a fair one.
Because then you're like, all right, if your top receivers are Mac Hollins, Kendrick Bourne, and Kyle Williams, yeah. then like not ideal. So maybe people would still defend him that way, right?
Yeah.
Like, excuse away bad play.
People will. I mean, people absolutely
not Tim
will.
And Brockton.
No, not Tim and Brockton.
Tim and Brockton's
but
all
the majority
over.
Of people probably will. But I think you'll start to figure some of that out. And I am nervous Drake's a little bit of a crybaby. I am nervous about
okay.
that.
All right.
And he was threatened by Joe. I'm absolutely worried about that. I mean, I think we were on that very early, Keith, the second Joe Milton got traded. And Reese is like,
it was
about QB room dynamics. We're like, well, whose dynamics in the QB room?
Right.
Was that Joe Milton acting out and expecting that he was better than he should be? He wanted to be the starter. I don't even think that's the worst thing in the world, but give me more details and we can adjust. Or was it Drake May feeling threatened? Like, I am worried about that. I'm not telling you he is that, but I am worried that there's some of that going on. 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring coming up at 11:30. Drake May, scheduled to speak live at 11:45. Maybe we'll get some of these answers. You'll hear it live here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Now, Keefe.
Yes.
Way back before the season started, I believe right on the eve of
opening day.
MLB's opening day.
That's right.
After the Dodgers and Cubs already started in Japan.
Well, they played like a week
earlier.
But
the full opening day.
For real.
We did a dong pool draft.
Yeah.
We each drafted four players. All five of us.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you, Nick, Billy, Terp. We all drafted four players, purely adding up the home runs.
Season-long dongs.
We wanna let you know periodically how that's going. We put you through the draft. You listen to the draft. We want to update you on how.
It's not going to disappear.
First place in the dong pool standings after 1 month plus of baseball. Terp.
He snaked everybody's picks, and he is way out in front.
31 home
Gear
runs.
Hoops.
His leader is the big dumper, Cal Raleigh.
Well, we saw him
with 10
up
homers.
Close.
So he sniped Cal Raleigh. You did. That's true. Very close. You and Chime.
Nick was talking about Cal Raleigh for weeks
well,
before
that's,
the draft.
And that's on Nick. Nick kind of let it slip
well,
that that was one of his targets.
Here. Brian was here when that happened. So not the case.
Collusion.
Wow.
Collusion.
You're saying a game of telephone.
I
got
think there's a leak.
So,
it's Brian. We found it.
So he sniped the big dumper
from Nick, and
he sniped Kyle Tucker from you.
My NL MVP.
And he made $20 via Venmo from an anonymous text messenger to snipe it from Keith.
That's true. So he's already
up,
won. He
he's
already
up
won.
$20 and he's winning the dong pool right now, 31 homers.
Everything's coming up, Terp.
I am currently in second.
Okay.
27 home runs.
Not too far off.
Only four out of first, led by Aaron Judge with 10 homers. My Braves crew of Matt Olson and Austin
Judge
Riley
the Braves.
Dragging me down.
Yep.
Nick, sitting right in the middle, third place, 20 home runs, led by Brent Rooker.
Okay.
8 homers.
All right.
Billy Lanny in fourth, 19 homers. First pick in the draft, Shohei Ohtani leads his team with
just
7.
Just socked the dong, was it yesterday?
Did he?
As a dad, I believe, for Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, nice. Dad strength. So Billy, Billy's currently in fourth, but probably
sky's the limit.
Green arrow up, I would imagine. And all alone, dead last.
It's not going great.
Rich Keefe.
Yeah, it stinks.
16 measly little homers.
16.
And 8 of them are from Fernando Tatis Jr. Great pick, Keefe. So the rest of you have
Vlad Guerrero is on my team. The guy doesn't hit home runs anymore.
Actually, I'm looking at it. He has two guys from the teams that have the least amount of home runs in the league.
What's going on? Are they doing something to the ball? Are they de-juicing the balls? They move the fences back in these parks?
So now I'm starting to think it wasn't me and Keith that jinxed Garrett Crochet. I'm just thinking it was Keith. When we were at Fenway, Keith jinxed him.
I could be the problem.
You're jinxing
it's probably
you're jinxing whole teams in baseball with
ridiculous.
Your dong pool draft. So Keefe all
10
alone
is the number.
Last.
So Judge, Cal Raleigh, and Eugenio Suarez.
Undrafted.
All have 10 dongs this year. Mike Trout is 9. We were all scared off by Mike Trout's injury history that nobody took Mike Trout.
I think he's now hurt again.
I was going to say, he's about to get hurt.
He's day to day.
Yeah, you got great. Congratulations, you got 9 home runs.
Knee soreness or something?
Who has it?
He's also hitting 179.
Half of his hits are home runs. 18 hits, he has 9 dongs.
Keefe, we don't track that in the dog pool.
No, it's
we don't care
home runs only. I get it. Or who, do I?
Who has Corey Seager? You, Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like Nick has Seager on the IL right now.
That was my fourth round pick.
Yeah, he has him on the IL. Nothing you can do. No transactions.
Just got to
draft him, follow.
That's right.
We'll update you on June 1st. So go nowhere. Stay tuned for that. Also go nowhere. Stay tuned for Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring. He joins us right after Trending with Billy Laney.